Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, on a very special day today. We don't have breaking news. The breaking news is that it is episode 100. If you're just joining us and you missed hour one, you've missed a lot. We got Rider Great number 57, Bob Poley, in the bunker. It's his first appearance on the Rod Grey Cup. MVP Corey Sheets on the way in hour two. George Reed, Wes Cates, Donald Narcisse, Ken Miller, Kent and Keith. That's a lot. And the Duke joins us in the bunker as well. Derek Myers, how you doing, Duke?
What the hell am I doing here?
I don't know. Your dad's watching.
Like, it's basically a Plaza of Honor edition.
Yeah.
And then I stumble in here.
Well, you're here for the cake.
Yeah, you're here for the cake.
I am here for the cake. I'm not going to lie. You're absolutely right.
Thank you, Joe Gunnis. Joe Broken Toe, watching from Moose Jaw, my business manager, for sending over some of the food here from Tim's. We have uncovered the true origin of the term spud nuts.
What?
Thanks to Poli for that. That's potatoes with chunks of, or sorry, donuts with chunks of potatoes in them, which oddly I'd be interested in trying.
They're not chunks. It's mashed potatoes.
Oh.
Mixed in.
Sorry.
God.
From Becky Poli, watching, I can only imagine, from beautiful British Columbia today. Hi, Dad. Love your favorite child. Did Bob Jr. get a hold of her Facebook account?
No, I called when the other ones on around, I always say, you're my favorite. You're my favorite. You're my of favorite. Course. I tell them all that.
See, and I tell mine.
But I think they know now.
It's a sliding scale. Like, it's a week-to-week thing. It's like the power rankings that we do. Like, you can move up and down this depending on how bad you screw up each week.
Fair enough.
Love you, B.
Norm Fong writing in. Fongo says, the game Poli's talking about was absolutely hilarious, and the referee that game was... Kerry Fraser. You remember it?
I do. He was a slick-looking guy.
Was he a jerk then, too?
No! I liked him.
You liked Fraser?
Well, I think he'd come up and talk to me. He kind of liked... I don't know if he liked me. I thought he was all right. God, he was slick, eh?
So slick. Yeah. Becky goes on to say, I am his favorite, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she probably is. She was an athlete too, right? Basketball player?
She was really good.
Yeah. Very good basketball player.
Very good basketball player. Won the Nationals. Was that a three times? U of
yeah.
R? Yeah, it was great.
On this 100th episode, I've got notes to get to. I got things, people to see and things to do. I don't even know where this came from. Tyler, did you leave this here? Our business manager, Tyler Gross. Somebody left this note on my desk. It says, hey, if you like our baking, you should check out nathieskitchen.ca on and Instagram. It's run and made by one of our lovely bakers. Show her some love, it says. Who brought in the baking?
It's Perk and Taps.
Oh, it's Perk and Taps? Oh, I love that place. Any good jokes today? They always write jokes polls on the box.
On the donut boxes.
They write for me to read on the air. What was the one yesterday?
They're punny.
I wanted to try juggling, but I didn't have the balls. I'm never going to forget that.
Wow.
I know.
You might use that one.
But yeah, you can. Actually, I used yours. It was seafood night at Deer Valley the other night. And I said, lobster, tail, and beer. My three favorite things. Got that from Poli.
Hey, I've heard that one.
Right. Listen, it's a rider theme show. Our third highest viewed city, though, is Winnipeg. And we just had the clip coming out of the break about what I was saying at the start of the year. Don't get geeked up in Winnipeg. They were talking Grey Cup. But now look at them. We've talked about the Riders, Bob, but your thoughts on the rest of the CFL West. And start with Winnipeg, if you don't mind.
Well, you know, with Nichols going down too, that hurts. You know, when it was at one time, all the whole league had backup quarterbacks, and it there was no number one guys. Everybody was using their second string, third string guys, and it just shows to show you need a trigger guy. You need a guy to carry on and to move up and to win. And you know, with Calgary now, with Bo Levi back, he's a good one, boy.
He's
a good one. You know, his receivers were dropping a few against that Riders game a couple weeks ago, but it could have been a lot worse. But, yeah, they're going to be a contender, You know, you look at BC, well, they struggled a little bit, you know, with Riley going there. But, you know, their supporting staff, I thought, might have been hurting a little bit, you know. And then a new coach and all that stuff, you know. There's all the mix of that. And down east, who cares?
Right.
Hamilton's doing pretty good. I really don't.
Post-election talk.
Yeah. But I'm kind of out of the loop. You know what I really enjoy now? Just being a fan. Just watching football.
That's great.
And I don't get upset. I used to. It used to bother me. You know, the boys, you know, didn't pull it out or win or certain things happen. But I don't. It doesn't bother me anymore. And you know, we got season tickets. We love them, you know, the new stadium and all that stuff. And it, the league, it's a great league.
It's awesome.
It's just a great league. And, you know, it's the wide open, lots of action, you know, good football players. And it's just, it's great. And, you know, my buddy's running the league now, Randy Ambrosi, and he's a beauty, isn't he?
I'm glad you brought that up, because a friend of mine from the Army, Brad, was at the RCMP regimental dinner last night. Have you been to those at the RCMP?
Yes.
They're so great.
They're top drawer, yeah.
The guest speaker was also the best speaker. It was Randy Ambrosi last night. And Brad just texted me and says, Randy Ambrosi said some nice things about you last night. And I thought...
Oh, you.
Well, yeah. Not about you, Bob. About me.
Got weird fast.
He came in the league.
Awkward!
He came in the league in Calgary.
And were you in Calgary then?
Yes, I was. And I mentored him a little bit. He played beside me a little bit. Raw rookie and come from Winnipeg area and a good football player. And then we got rid of him. He went down east, went to Toronto. And then can I tell a quick story?
Absolutely.
This is fantastic. We're in the Western Final against Edmonton. The Eskimos in 89. And going up there, and there wasn't much hope. They were 16-2 and we were 9-9, whatever. We just squeaked by with Calgary, and we go up there, and I would be being beat up and night before the game, and we had been there a couple of days already, and phone rings, and it's Ambrosi, and me and Roger are sitting in a room, and it's Ambrosi, and he goes, what are you doing? He's just like a little puppy, he's all fired up, and I was just laying here licking my wounds, trying to get ready for tomorrow, you know, and he goes, well, you got time for a beer? And so, you know, so anyway, I said, yeah, I always got, you're buying, I'm going, you know, wings and beer, I'm in, you know. And anyway, so I go down and he picks me up and we go to a little bar and he goes, yeah, he says, oh boy, we're great, hey? And you know, everything good, families, all that kind of stuff. And anyway, we're talking there and having a beer and some wings and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden he looked at me and goes, you know, really, what are you guys doing here? You know, like, you haven't got a chance. I said, well, we beat Calgary. We're here, and, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow. And, you know, I'm just happy to be here. You know? He goes, well, you guys are going to get annihilated tomorrow. I talked to him after the game. He wasn't that happy.
Still upset.
I'll never forget
that.
Albright, Eddie Lowe knocked the hell out of Tracy, and then fumble, and Albright grabs the ball and starts lumbering towards the end zone. Ambrosi missed the tackle.
Terrible, remind him of
terrible
it?
Terrible tackle. Oh, yeah. The only good thing about Ambrosi, he wore 57, eh?
I guess he
should be retired league-wide.
Logical next step is Commissioner Bob Poley.
We have a guest on video chat this morning we're bringing in from North Carolina. Throw on your headphones, Poles, if you don't mind. That is the great Ken Miller joining us on video chat. Do we got him, guys? There he is. There's Yay! Coach Miller. How are you, Kenny?
Hey, good morning, Rod. I'm fine. How are you?
Well, couldn't be much better, actually, and I appreciate you joining us to be part of our 100th episode of the program. And as I said to all the guys today, very simply, how are things out your way? What's up with you these days?
Boy, things are good. You know, weather is great. It's here. The leaves are turning, and the place is full of visitors here.
You know what? I can't even imagine how beautiful it is out there in North Carolina. And I was telling the boys, the last time we were on with Mike McCullough and Gene Mikowski here, we got so excited, we kind of got sidetracked, you know, with our stories. I wanted to ask you, what's up with you? How are things in your life right now, and what's keeping you busy?
Well, you know, I do a little bit of artwork, and I go to open studios 2 or 3 times a week, and then I do a little bit of plain air painting in addition to that. And then I try and do some quality things with Maureen from time to time too. So those are the things. And this morning I took our dog, well, we both took our dog out for a nice walk of about 2 miles. It was really pretty and the weather was really, really beautiful. A little bit cool, but beautiful.
Sounds like a great life, and you two are definitely an inspiration. One of the questions I had for you that I didn't get to last time, and this could take up our whole interview here, is your answer to it. When you sat Jeremy O'Day down and said, we'd like you to transition from playing to the front office, what made you want to do that? How did that meeting go? And now he's getting all these plaudits for what a great job he's doing, which would not surprise you. But can you talk about that juncture in his life and this franchise?
Well, you know, early on, I can't remember if it was just when I was the head coach or when I became a vice president of football operations. Jeremy came to me and we had a nice conversation. And during that conversation, he told me that he would like for his future to be in the CFL football administration. And so I told him that was a really good idea, a good plan for him. And I think a few days after that, I had arranged for him to attend a conference here in the United States. And so I think within about 10 days, he was on a plane to a conference about organization, administration of football. It was at the NCAA collegiate level, but I thought any administrative information would be good for him. And so he did that for, I guess we did that for two or three seasons while he continued to play. And then it got to the point where I was thinking that perhaps I should think about retiring. And I wanted to have a plan in place for people who are going to follow and do what I felt that we had built there. And so I asked Jeremy if he'd be interested in that. And he said he would be interested. And I said, well, we're going to have this assistant GM position that's going to come available this year. If you'd like to have it, I would like to have you do it. If we're going to have the position, we'll probably fill it. So if you don't take it now, why, somebody else may get it. And so then that was the situation. He decided that he would like to do it with some reluctance, but I think it was a good move for him. It was certainly a great move for the Riders. And as far as my succession plan, why, it was a tremendous part of it, although it took a few years for it to come into fruition.
So I'm guessing no surprise at the success Jeremy's had. Now, it is first year. He hasn't won a championship yet, and he'd be the first guy to tell you the job's nowhere near done, but probably not surprised that he's getting the kudos and plaudits that he is.
Well, absolutely no surprise. You know, just based on Jeremy's character, you know, the leadership that he demonstrated in the locker room as a player, I knew that he would take those characteristics and become a tremendous, you know, tremendous administrator. And I'm glad that it has come together for him. And that 1 year of football, hopefully this is going to turn out to be to make up for it in a lot of ways.
And Kenny, lastly, your take on the CFL right now with 2 weeks to go in the regular season, then playoffs, what are you seeing?
Boy, I'll tell you what, it has been a tumultuous kind of a season, you know, with the ups and downs and the quarterbacks being hurt and good teams losing and then teams that were not doing well starting to find some footing and that sort of thing. It's been the CFL. You know, I can't say it's been typical CFL, but it's been kind of what you would expect in the CFL.
Kenny, enjoying following what you're doing there on Facebook. I appreciate you coming on today. It's always a treat talking to you. You know how I feel about that. Thanks for this, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
Great. That'd be great. And again, Rod, congratulations on your 100th episode.
Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it. My best to Maureen.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Ken Miller down in North Carolina. I don't think you guys would argue the most loved head coach in Rough Riders history.
Certainly in my lifetime.
Class.
Yeah. And a hell of an artist. That some of that stuff that he does, Mike Lee has a piece, and I just saw on Facebook the other day that he donated a piece to for a fundraiser here, and it's actually really
he's
good.
Talented.
Yes, he can paint, and it's one of those things that you don't, you know. Well, how long was Ken here? I guess 5-6 years. During his time with the Riders, never had a clue. Would have had no. That's the last thing I'd have been like, you know, Coach. You look like an artist. You know, who would have said that?
That's what's great about this program. Speaking of class, we're going to Houston, Texas next for our next guest, another Hall of Famer. It's the 100th episode of the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcasts wherever you catch your podcasts, including CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Coach Miller, I'll say good afternoon out there. How you doing, Kenny?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Riders.
Good morning. I love it. Good. You know these two guys. We got with us Gene Mikowski and Mike McCullough. Kenny, before I get into the football questions, the whole province and Rider Nation wants to know, how are you doing? How are things down there?
Things are going great. They really are. We're doing well. Maureen and I are living a good life here in Asheville, North Carolina. You know, really, when I think about the Labor Day game, I have to go back to the Grey Cup championship year. And I think we're down by a point late in the game. We're marching the ball, and we're getting ready to position the ball to kick a field goal. And Kent Austin whispers in my ear, "What do you think about running a draw play?" And I said, "Good idea." We called the draw play to Kerry Joseph. Winnipeg blitz. They had person in every gap, but we blew them open. Jeremy O'Day and whoever else was in there, Mike Abu probably, and split him, and he ran into the end zone for a winning touchdown. So that was a tremendous win for us in that Grey Cup year.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, where everything's happening. The 100th episode of the Rod Peterson Show. As our next guest makes his way in, I will read you a sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Raptors won last night in overtime over the New Orleans Pelicans, 130-122. Kyle Lowry, 22 points, as the Raps got their rings and the banner raised. Here we go. There's our next guest making his way in. Take your time, George. Washington Nationals have opened the World Series by stealing home field advantage from the Houston Astros. Juan Soto drove in three runs and Max. The Nationals held off the Astros 5-4. And Kawhi Leonard began a new chapter with the L.A. Clippers scoring 30 points in a 112-102 victory over LeBron James and the L.A. Lakers in both team season opener. Kawhi was booed at Staples Center by the LA fans. We may or may not talk about that a little later on, but that is the morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. And a big thank you to the boys from Ballers. They have dropped off my new favorite pizza, the T-Rex All Meat Pizza from Ballers. Thank you, Wire, Ricky Regina, and Kelly down there. Just before we welcome George Reed, who's just settling in here, let's go out on video chat to welcome our next guest on the 100th episode of the Rod Peterson Show, and that is Canadian Football Hall of Famer, class of 2010, pro football record holder of many records, Donald Narcisse. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, Rod? Man, I really appreciate you. Rod, I want to tell you this, man. When I had moved back to Canada, you was the first one that reached out and let me use your platform on having this football camp. And I did it for 7 years, man. And I'm telling you, man, I really appreciate you.
You know what? I'm actually really proud to have been with you from day one of the football camp, Don. I'm just as happy to be a part of that. And I think, and actually I know that all our viewers are going to want to know how you're doing down there in Houston since you settled. You've had a few health things that seem to be behind you now. But how are things in the world of Don Narcisse?
Well, you know, things, you know, I got diagnosed with prostate cancer. Man, I dealt with that for like a year and a half. Now, I finished my radiation treatment. I went to the doctor about 2 weeks ago. The cancer is gone. So I'm just getting back to my life, man, trying to get these get back to this year and a half that I missed out on. But it's all good right now, man. I'll tell you what, when I got a chance to put it on Facebook, it was amazing, man. I was able to reach out to a lot of people. A lot of people was able to reach out to me. So it's a blessing.
What are you thinking about the Riders right now in 2019? How closely are you following this 11-5 team and what's going on? It's a surprise to those of us that do follow them very closely.
Well, I'm very surprised. You know, the quarterback that you all have, man, that's a great dude. He's doing some great things out there. So it's a blessing, man. You know, a lot of people did predict that the Rough Riders would be in a position where they're in now. So it's great to see it going. But I tell you what, man, it'd be nice we get to the Grey Cup and win it.
Yeah. How much are you able to follow it? Are you being able to see the games, Narco? Or
no, you know, for some reason this year, they don't too much play any other games on ESPN3 or whatever. So you don't see that much. You don't see that many games of the CFL in the United States.
Well, you're getting the scores, and that's all that matters. You see that they're winning week by week by week.
Yeah, that's the good part about it.
Don, lastly, before I let you go and get back to work there, we're coming to Houston in December with our sports trip. You said that you'd be able to come on the air with us. I've never been, so what am I getting? And all of our viewers that are coming with us in Houston, Texas, what should we expect?
I tell you what, the food out here is amazing. They give you a lot. It's a little more than you might be able to handle. The barbecue is awesome. I'm going to make sure that y'all go to Papa Do's. It's going to be right across the street from the stadium anyway, so you got to make sure you go to Papa Do's. It's a seafood place, and I tell you what, the best seafood ever.
Narco, you going to come on with us when we're down there? You got some stories for us? Maybe do the dance?
Yeah, I'm going to have to come meet all the fans and everything, and teach them my touchdown dance.
All right. Donald, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. Thanks for all the support over the years.
All right. Thank you so much, man, and congratulations on your 100th episode, man.
Thank you, Narco. Don Narcisse in Houston, Texas today joining us on this special show, and it just gets more special. I just threw George and Wes's headphones on there so they could listen to Narco. You can pull them off now, gentlemen, if you want. But we got the two rushing kings of the CFL, George the rushing legend, Wes Cates number two, to this man here in Rider history. It's a first for George. Wes has been here a few times. George, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good.
You always doing great.
Yeah, well, I can't complain. You know, it's I kind of stumble along and everything else, hoping that the left leg gets a little stronger. It seems to be coming, and so forth. So that's all you can ask for. So I get up in the morning, do my exercises, and away I go.
Well, you've always had the right attitude, the right look at the. I could just sit here and just stare at you two for a while. Wes, how much you been around George over the years?
I've gotten my. Everybody loves George, so the one thing I know is every event I was ever at, I'm like, oh, there's George again, right? Any type of Rider event, they make sure to get George out. So I've been lucky enough to hang out with him a lot at events and stuff like that. And here and there, you know what I mean, the more secluded Rider player events and whatnot. But always a guy I've admired, and You know, it's interesting always getting compared to him. You say the two kings. I say it's more like the king and a prince or something like that. But, I appreciate the recognition and being in the same conversations with this guy because he's put up numbers that I can't imagine will ever get past. So just to be mentioned in his caliber is awesome.
I don't know, George, if I ever told you this or maybe Wes did, but when Wes became the second all-time rushing leader here, remember this, Wes? Wesley, I think we were together. I showed you the media guide. Here's the rushing numbers, and you're like, who's number one? I think I figured it out one day. George rushed for like 360 miles in his CFL career. When you were doing it, George, though, I mean, did it seem like you were on a record-setting pace or you're just doing your job?
You know what? I never really thought about it. My rushing... when I was rushing and everything in the season, I was more intent on us winning football games and seeing whether or not we can get to the Grey Cup. And that's what was important to me. I guess maybe towards the end of my career when the stats started piling up and everything else. And at one time I was the number one rusher in North America for quite a while and so forth. So those things were nice to sit back and look at and everything else. But my most importantly was that let's go out on the football field and see if we can kick somebody's butt out there today, and we'll go from there.
Does that sound familiar to you, Wes?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you always like to be at the top of the statistics year in and year out, but it's not much fun to just be leading in stats if you're losing. So it's always a team effort trying to get out there and do what you can to help your team win. You know, it's always better to party with all your teammates than to party by yourself about some statistics. So it's definitely something you hang your hat on when everything's over with, but not something you think about when you're in the moment in game to game in every season. It's the stats are just something that comes along with the hard work you put in.
Yeah, but I'm sure George knows that this guy, Wes, George, in the 2007 Grey Cup, played on a broken foot. I remember you saying, Wes, there's nothing's going to keep me out of this game. What's the worst that you played, George? Somebody told me you get a ball carrier gets hit five times on every carry. Does that sound about, like, I mean...
If you're as good as we were, yeah. Well,
yeah, you probably were.
It takes that many hits to get us down, right?
Right.
Well, I really... I probably got five good shots a year as far as... I got hit a lot. But a lot of them were glancing blows and side blows and so forth. So I had about five where they kind of rung my bell a little bit in a year. But, I always try to always position myself where no one got a good shot at me. And I think that's the thing that I was able to accomplish and everything else is that position yourself and taking as least big hits as possible will ensure that you can play for a while and everything else. And that's the way I did it.
You know what? There's more to it even than that. And you told me, for people that don't know, George and my dad were in the same rehab facility rehabbing your hips and it was my dad's leg. And I asked you about your head. I'm like, how come you're so sharp, George? You took all these hits. You're the rushing king. Man, you shouldn't be as sharp as you are. And you said you figured out real quick how to move your head to take a tackle. Can you tell the kids that?
Well, what happened is that when I came here, I think it was the second or third game we played Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and I got a cheap shot and hit me in my neck. And then I had to sit out one game. And, of course, Bob Shaw wasn't going to let me sit out more than one game, so I sat out one game. And I started wearing a collar. That's when I started wearing the collar around my neck. And that's why I never used my head. And I tell people, I say, I position myself to use my shoulders, and if I hit you in my head, that was by accident because I didn't want to hurt my neck and everything else. And that's why... If you look at all the films of me and everything, and you see me hitting somebody, it's always hitting with my shoulders, not directly with my head.
What do you think when you hear that, Wes?
Smart man. Yeah, definitely. You know, you take some shots and you get your bell rung. It's kind of surprising you think back on with all this hoopla about concussions and concussion protocol. I'm like, I can think back to, you know, plenty of games where I got my bell rung and probably had a concussion, but it wasn't enough to maybe have you stumbling or wobbling around so other people could notice. But I guess that was part of just trying to be tough and, you know, live up to the bravado of the sport, right? But yeah, at the end of the day, you got to learn how to take hits. You got to learn how to fall. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of times guys just get hurt because they're trying to brace their fall or are trying to do a little too much. You kind of got to know when that particular battle is over and get down and then get back to the huddle and, you know, live to fight the next play.
Got a few, several comments coming in. Wayne in Victoria, BC says, I loved how George always slowly walked back to the huddle. Then the next play, he'd go for 10 or more yards. Was that true, George? Was that when you were catching your breath?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, they didn't pay me to run back to the huddle. They paid me to go ahead and so forth. So the only way I could get a little breath because, you know, it was time that Ronnie said, you're going to carry the ball. It might be five times in a row and so forth. And that's the only time I had a chance to rest. And they also kind of fool people. He's dragging back. He's not going to do anything the next go. And bang, here I am. So that's what it was all about. But that was one way that I rested.
You mentioned Ronnie. Can you speak of your relationship with him?
Well, Ronnie and I, you know, we developed quite a relationship. First year here, no one knows it, but a lot of people know it and everything. But Ronnie never made a road trip with us until the playoffs. Shaw always had another quarterback in town, and when we were on the road, we would go. So Ronnie would take me from the old Kitchener Hotel. I had my car here. He'd drive me to the airport and drop me off, and I'd get back off. When I come back to the airport, he'd be there to pick me up, and we developed quite a friendship and so forth. And then, of course, as we both moved here and so forth, our families and so forth grew close together. And my wife and Bev, they were very good friends, and they always had some kind of different concoctions, whether it was making Caesars with a little spice in it for football games when it was close. And the kids were very close to themselves. So we had quite a relationship. And I remember we used to go, because we only had two TV channels here back then, we used to go down to Bismarck, North Dakota over Christmas and watch all the college games and so forth down there. And the kids, they wanted to swim. We wanted to watch football, and that's what we did. But we had a great relationship. And I was one that I was really missed when he passed away. I really missed just talking to him.
I remember how shaken you up you were. We all were, but you were at another level. And that's when I realized how close you were. And I'll ask you this, Wes Cates. When you showed up here in 07, when did you realize that George Reed was a guy that was the stud? Probably by looking to the side of the building and seeing a seven-story banner of him would be a start.
Well, yeah. Funny story about George and Ron. I guess when I first got here, they didn't have many numbers that were available, right? So there was some numbers that were retired. And all through college and even in high school, I wore 23. So I noticed nobody was wearing 23 on the practice field. And I'm like, what's up with... Let me get 23. And they were like, I thought I was going to get released just for asking. Because it was Ronnie Lancaster's number. So I realized that wasn't going to happen. Moved on. Luckily, I got 20 due to some circumstances. But, it didn't take long to understand that, George and Ron were part of an era that, like, was infamous and people were never going to forget about. And just anytime you talked about anything great that ever happened with the Riders, they were going to be mentioned in that conversation because of, you know, just winning that first one. And just being the legends and, like, just really superheroes that they were in Saskatchewan and across the country as far as the CFL goes.
There is absolutely no doubt. And I don't know why our producer Clark is as fixated on running backs today as he has been. I personally love it. Corey Sheets, George Reed, Wes Cates. And now we're going to Texas on the video chat. And I'll ask you guys to put your headphones on if you wish to be joined by Kit and Keith. You can't have all these guys on and not have KK on here to join the party. Kenton, how are things with you in Texas today?
It's good, man. It's a beautiful day out here. I can't complain. I can't complain. What's up, Wes? What's up, George? How y'all doing in there, man?
What's good, KK? How you been?
I've been good, man. Long time, man.
It has been. What's the last time you two talked to each other?
I mean, you know what's funny is when we, what was it? It would have been after 2007 season, I think. Or was it 2006? No, it was 2006 season.
I don't hear anything.
Like, we were going down to Minnesota to work out for the Vikings. And we messed
That's right. I remember that.
And we messed around and we were the only two running backs that were at this 10-person little workout. There was four DBs, four receivers, and then me and KK. Yeah. And at the end, like towards the end of this, it was like a grueling workout. They were ripping and running this. And by the end of it, they were only filming me and KK. They were like, really? We just wanted to see you two guys. You're both great athletes and blah, 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 this and that. They went through like probably 3 hours worth of drills. At the end of the workout, they were like, well, you guys are both good backs and worth signing, but we think we're going to maybe use a high draft pick to pick a running back and then see how it plays out. Maybe you'll hear from us later. They drafted Adrian Peterson that year. And then, you know, KK went down to the Colts and I came back up here. But, So that was that might have been I'm sure we bumped into each other a couple times, I think, in passing when KK was back up here, like, later on. But
I think that was always the first real time we got to speak, though.
Yeah, for real. Yes, for sure.
Yeah, how do you remember that side of the story, KK?
I actually forgot all about it at first, but I'm glad to remember it now. You know, it's been a lot of things. You know, at that time in my life, I was doing a lot of traveling and going to different teams and working out. So for him to bring that up, I think, wasn't it Eric Bieniemy that was working us out, Wes?
Yeah, yep, sure was.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. Well, look, Lisa came down to me, Wes, and Adrian Peterson. Most people can't say nothing like that.
Hey, George, as we sit here and listen to these whippersnappers, and then Corey Sheets, of course, came close. He equaled some of your records. What was it? 10 100-yard games in a season. But as you reminded me, he did it in 18. You did it in 16. Yeah. Show this guy. Just show George. Nope.
Just little things.
Right. But when you were watching these guys, what did you think? What did you think about? You must have, like, some pride or something as the guy that played that position so well to have these guys kind of do an assault on your record and never really coming close.
Well, I wasn't worried about about the records or anything else. What I admired is that the writers were finding guys to help them move forward and everything else, and that's what I admired about them and their ability and so forth to lend to the team. And I thought that's what was important in everything at the time and so forth. So I was never one anything to worry about records or that type of thing. I was always about the team, and even after I retired and so forth, it was always my thought was always, okay, what can we do to help the team move forward and keep everybody coming in and hope like hell we don't have to take any wheat to sell tickets and so forth. And it, you know, those were the important things, and we had some good football players and great backs come in, and so I was happy to support that.
You just wanted the team to win.
That's right.
Bottom line. KK, when did you realize what a stud George Reed was? When do you recall him coming on your radar when you were the tailback here?
Well, I actually knew of his name before I actually knew who he was, before I actually paid attention to who he was. Because anytime, like Wes said, anytime somebody would mention Saskatchewan or the history of Saskatchewan, Ron Lancaster and George and Don would always come up. And it was just like a part of it. So, you know, me not doing my research until maybe the second or third year I was there, I didn't really know who he was, but I just knew he was a big part of the history in Saskatchewan. So once I figured it out, once I did my research, I was amazed about the numbers that he was putting up, man. That's when I started looking at the records and like, oh, what am I even chasing here? This is like, I got to stay here for 10 years to break stuff like this.
Yeah. Well, and of course, and you went to the NFL and then back in Hamilton after that, of course. But we've always been following very closely what you're doing, KK, even to this day. And I see you're following the Riders now. You're tweeting about them and so forth. What are your thoughts on this team right now as they charge towards what might be the fifth Grey Cup in franchise history? We might want to call it the drive for five. Do you think they have it?
I think Saskatchewan has the, I call it the fourth quarter momentum of all the teams right now. So as long as they keep riding this wave and their momentum and the fans stay behind them, man, I think we're going to go to the Grey Cup. I think we're going to win, honestly. It just looks like the team has great chemistry. And, I mean, you know, with the CFL teams, that's really all it takes. And everybody work together from the top down. It looks like that's what's going on. The quarterback, I forget his name. I just actually met him on Twitter. Cody, is that right?
Cody Fajardo, yep.
Oh, yeah. He's a baller, man. I actually know his cousin. We spoke on Twitter a couple days ago. But I see promising things this year, man. So shout out to the Riders, man.
All right. And KK, funny how things work. Last we talked, I found out you're in Austin. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm coming down there in 2 weeks' time. Can I get with you?
Yeah, what's going on? Do I need a dress for the occasion?
Not at all. No, just take me to a barbecue and we'll be all good. All right, so I'll see you in a couple weeks. And thanks
all
for
right,
coming
for
on.
Sure, let's do that.
Thanks for coming on, by the way, KK.
Okay. I appreciate it, man. Anytime. Like I said, anytime you guys want me on, I'm always open. You see, I done got some headphones because since the first podcast, I done had like three of them now, so I got to be ready.
I see. No, it sounds 100%. I appreciate it. So I'll let you say goodbye to these guys, KK, and we'll see you soon.
Have a great day, buddy.
All right, George.
Yeah, take it
you
easy.
You too. Good seeing you, Wes, man. Y'all be easy, man.
Yeah. All right. Kent and Keith down in Austin, Texas today. The 100th edition of the Rod Peterson Show continues after this time out. You're watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Your favorite movies, your episode after episode after episode season marathon, all in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appell Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%? That's people.
And we're walking down Main Street, Kamloops, heading towards the movie theater. And back in the day in Kamloops, there was a lot of like oil rig workers that used to come to town from out of town because they'd be working on the rigs, but they come to town and they'd come in to, you know, whoop it up, blow off some steam and have a great time. And one of this, we called them rig pigs. They're walking down the street on the opposite side from us and just happenstance, we end up on the same corner right there in front of the Kamloops movie theater about 6:30 in the evening. My buddies and I are going to catch a movie, but these guys start mouthing off. They're like 7, 8 years older than us. They start mouthing off. They go, Sahali sucks onions. Sahali sucks onions. Well, two of my buddies are standing talking to these guys. I parted their shoulders. I waded into the middle, and I just tattooed one of these guys. Popped two teeth out of his face, and here we are, big brawl in front of the Kamloops movie theater. And as legend would have it, the head scout for the Regina Pats is driving by the movie theater that night. He looks, he sees Stu. I know that kid. I've seen him play.
Was it Glenn Dirk?
It was. I can't believe you said that. It was Glenn Dirk.
I know my dub lore. Continue. Sorry. Robert Dirk's dad.
You're amazing. Amazing. Glenn Dirk is driving by. Stu Grimson, I know that kid. He's not a bad player. I ended up on the list. So back then, we didn't have a WHL draft. It was a list. You got listed by your junior team. And as legend has it, 2 weeks from then, I ended up on the list of the Regina Pats, and the rest is history. I was 3 years a Regina Pat.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rob.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. 100th episode of this show has been an all-timer, and I got to thank the guys that put it on. Darren DuPont, Tyler Gross, Clark back here, Jordan, of course, our entire crew. It's not over yet, by the way, but I just want to say thank you because I had very little to do with it other than sitting in this chair. Several moments left in this segment with George Reed and Wes Cates, and I just want to talk about this year's team. I think we've gone down memory lane enough. Let's look ahead, and I'll start with you, George, on Cody Fajardo and the extension on Monday. Close to $500,000 he's signed for, and it looks like everybody's happy. Your thoughts on getting him done and where the team's at looking forward?
Well, I think it's very smart. He got it out of the way where it's not something that's hanging on to him going into playoffs and so forth. He knows he's going to be here for at least 2 more years. His wife, she can be settled down. Now, sometimes women are awful tough on you when you
really
don't know whether or not you're going to have a job next year. So I was very happy to get that one out of the way. So we got that. We got a running back to sign for another year. So hopefully the more that you can pull these guys together and it's not having everybody running all over when end of November, December comes, who am I going to play for next year and everything? That's how you build the chemistry and keep things going. You keep your main plugs together and everything else. Then I think that it will pay off down the road. And somebody that's thinking about leaving, you're going to convince them they should stay for another year. So it's a start of building, and that's what I was happy to see.
Mm-hmm. You, Wes?
Yeah, I like Cody. I think he's got a little work to do, but he's a gamer. He's clutch. He finishes game strong. I think they've been struggling offensively to get off to good starts, but Jason Shivers has that defense looking real good, and they've been keeping him in games and winning games for him just like they did last year. So I think with a guy like Cody that everybody believes in, likes, loves, and can get behind, he's got the tools to get it done. I think as long as they keep working to build around him and he keeps working to get better, that they should get a championship, if not this year, in the years to come.
Well, funny how Pauly was in here last hour saying how the O-line's where it all starts, and it does, but you look at that backfield with William Powell. I got to ask you guys this. He might be the next guy in the group of guys we've had on here today. He's that good if he sticks around. Yeah. He's so powerful. George, what do you see out of this 29 Powell for the Riders?
Well, I see a very good football player in that. I like the way he can change pace and the things that he does once you put the football in his hand and everything else. And I, like I said, I was very happy when they signed him, and he signed for a 2-year deal. And I was very happy with that because I appreciated when he was playing for Ottawa. I used to watch him, and I appreciated what he could do on the field. And I've since have a close-up view here, and he has some outstanding moves, and sometimes I don't know how he can get out of it, out of the situation, but he seemed to do it.
Wes, you were a guest coach in camp, so you know him personally.
Yeah.
What do you think about what he's done? Did you see him being this good?
Yeah, Willie P. I guess everybody talks about the older running backs and that whatnot. But, yeah, I knew he had all the tools. I just kind of wanted to see, you know, how he fit in with the team and if he would still have that same energy and spryness about him. But he still got it, you know what I mean? Right now, playing great, smart guy, can catch. You know, has fun out there, you know, seems to, you know, get along with his teammates well, which is a big part of it. And yeah, there's really not anything he can't do. He's got his own style. It's a little smooth and, you know, he's got good feet. And like George was saying, he has a good change of pace. He runs hard between the tackles and he can get out of the backfield and catch when you need him to. And he fits up well in the blocking scheme too, right? You don't see him getting ran over by linebackers much. So he has everything he needs. He's out there doing what he needs to help the team win. So, yeah, I'm happy to see him having success.
So in these next two games before playoffs, both against Edmonton, they're 8-8. They know they're fourth. They know they're going east. What do you guys see? What should they expect out of Edmonton? Because on one hand, they're sort of meaningless games for Edmonton. I mean, I know you guys hate the term meaningless. Standings-wise, they are.
Yeah.
So what should we expect? And again, I'll start with you, George, on just these next two games.
I don't think they're meaningless games because, number one, Edmonton has to bring that quarterback back. This will be his game back, trying to get set up for the playoffs and everything else. And he's going to be trying to get his timing and play hard. And I've never went into a ball game and thinking that a ball game is easy or we don't need this game. I think that you have to build this time of year. You have to build and togetherness and how you're going to move forward and everything else. And I hope that the Riders go into this game just like they've got to win the game. And I think they do have to win because they got to keep the pressure, I think, on Calgary because they still have a chance to finish in first place. So I think you have to go in just like you do with any other game and get ready to kick some butt.
Right. Yes. Well, I just remember 07. I'll go back to 07 with Kent because you had a chance to win 13 games. The situation's a little different here, but Wes, he sat Carey in the last game. Remember, Carey was so mad. Mm-hmm. And Kent's like, this is about getting ready for the playoffs, not winning a 13th game. I'm not saying this is the situation here, but how do you see it playing out in the next two?
These are important games, I think. I guess you look at it from kind of like what guys you want to keep healthy or what guys are kind of on the verge of maybe not being healthy if you push them through the last couple of games. But these are definitely games that the Riders need. I think it's more about the confidence level that the team is going to take into the playoffs because – if Edmonton takes two or takes one from Saskatchewan, then Edmonton maybe thinks, okay, we'll bounce over to the east and we can beat whoever we play because we've beaten the best in Saskatchewan. But if Saskatchewan goes ahead and steps on Edmonton's neck over these next 2 weeks, then they're going to take some confidence away from Edmonton, worry Winnipeg, and definitely have Calgary nervous, right? So I think this is more about a mind game in this stage rather than how the standings are going to fallout.
I agree. Two last more questions for you, George. A, my producers reminded me that it was your 80th birthday on October 2nd. How did that go?
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
Sorry. He did.
Yeah. No, it was great. I had a great surprise, party and everything that they threw for me on the Friday. And it was outstanding because I had no idea about it and everything else. And then so that was good. And then the following week, my daughter, she got inducted into Regina Sports Hall of Fame. So I had two great weekends and everything was great.
Good. And here's my other last question. Every Rider game that I go to, it seems like every game, I might be wrong, but they show you on the big screen in your spot and the place goes nuts every single game. I love it. I think it's great. But you're such a humble guy. Can you just going, God, can we can it here? What's it feel like when they recognize you?
Well, it still feels very good when they recognize me. And when I'm going into the stadium and everything else, everybody's still wants to slap me on the shoulder and everything else. So all that, you know, I never forget that feeling and so forth. And it's very humbling and everything else that a lot of people and a lot of kids, I guess their parents have told them about me and everything else. And so it makes it very nice and everything else. And I really appreciate it.
Good. You've earned it. You both have. And I appreciate you coming in here. You're great guys. Thank you, fellas.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Wes Cates and George Reed. Overtime coming up next on this special 100th episode of the Rod Peterson Show. We'll be right back. You are watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. We have over 800 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new vehicles and 1.9% on used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Went to bed at 4 a.m., but, you know, nothing gets in the way of doing your show when
well,
I get asked.
I appreciate that, Lou. I appreciate it. And
no,
I don't want to get into the...
I appreciate you.
Lou, thanks for your time, my friend. As always, you're looking young, and we'll see you
later. You know what, Rod?
Yeah.
Rod, I'm feeling young. I'm the vice president of the young club.
Right.
You know who the president is.
Kelly Rempel.
It is Kelly Rempel. And I just want to say that we welcome the best. And everybody there, I don't know the one gentleman as well as you other two. You don't get into the young club for free.
You gotta earn it.
Look at poor Derek Myers. He's still on probation. I gotta go, but he's coming off.
Let the good times roll.
You got that right. Bye, guys.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Show, episode number 100. Boy, you just heard, you didn't hear it, I did, an eruption of laughter here in the bunker with Lou. Can't wait to see him later this week at the Heritage Classic. Some comments on the Facebook wall. Where is it? Shirlene, watching in Prince Albert. She says, I hope today's show goes into triple overtime. Wayne in Victoria, BC says, does Rod's contract say no third hour? LOL. Hey, I would love to stay here for a third hour today, but I can't. And I don't know why the politicos keep inviting me to things. I mean, Duke, you're one of them.
Hey,
so.
I'm going there today. You want
right.
to sit together?
That's the point. I could sit here all
we
day.
Like you.
I got my suit ready to go, and I'm going to the speech from the throne. I don't even know what it is.
Lieutenant Governor Russ Murasty giving his first speech from the throne.
Okay, it's a big deal.
It is absolutely. It's the opening of the fall session. So it means
it's a big deal
that our MLAs are going back to work.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so thanks for the invite.
Mm-hmm.
So, and thanks to Ballers for, or whoever was behind dropping off my new favorite pizza, the T-Rex. That's unbelievable, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Who was behind that?
That was Ballers, the guys at Ballers.
Those guys are so good.
Yeah.
And I'm sure if Great Western thought it would be worth dropping off beer, they would. But you get it, right?
I think there's some in the fridge.
Oh, for everybody else.
Prohibition.
Perfect.
Prohibition.
Prohibition.
Yeah. For everybody else.
Just a sports update for ballers. It's a light night in the NHL with just two games. The Ottawa Senators are at home for a game against Detroit. The Sens announced today that they have placed forwards Colin White and Artem Anisimov on injured reserve. Also tonight, Tampa Bay hosts Pittsburgh. Tonight's starters are both acknowledging nerves ahead of Game 2 of the World Series. Houston's Justin Verlander, 0-4 with a 5.67 ERA in five World Series starts. Washington's Steven Strasburg will be making his first World Series start. The Nationals won last night's game 1-5-4. It's a 6:07 first pitch tonight on Sportsnet.
That's great to hear professionals making $30 million still say they got nerves.
You better earn the money.
I absolutely love hearing them say that they're nervous about the game. But you should be. You should always be nervous for every game.
A tweet from their commissioner, Randy Ambrosi, says the CFL is saddened by the passing of Ottawa Rough Rider legend George Brancato, a CFL player, Grey Cup winning coach, and coach of the year. For those of us who have been fans longer than most, 1976 and Clemens DeGabriel feels like yesterday. Our sympathies to all who loved him, the passing of George Brancato. Casey writes in about people wearing number 100, and I can't believe, because this show has been like walking across Deerfoot Trail in rush hour for me, it's just zing, 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 zing. I didn't get to what we wanted, what I was going to get to on the 100th episode, because everybody's asking, what are you going to do in 100? What are you going to do in 100? Well, I'm glad that you're here, Duke, because you started the whole thing of the jersey numbers corresponding with the show start. And yes. Do you know what number it was that we started that on?
Oh, boy. It was
the 33rd episode.
Early 30s, yeah. Okay.
And you said, well, who's your favorite number 30? No, no. Well, you said to me first, who's your favorite 33? I said, Patrick Waugh.
Craig Ellis for me.
And then with a little more thinking, Chris Zarka. Yeah. And then it continued all the way up to 99 and Wehner.
Okay.
Well, we have 0 to 32 to go as the odometer's clicked over here to 100. So we're starting at 0.
Gilbert Arenas.
I was going to say, who comes to mind at 0?
There's some football players that have worn 0, too. I'm trying to think.
Who did I see the other day in the CFL that was a 0?
Omar Morgan was 1. Who wore 0 on our defense?
I'm sorry to spring this on you like
this. Who wore 0?
I wanted to catch you with your pants down.
You did.
And I did.
But there's somebody on the Ryder defense that we'll know the name of that wore 0. I can see it.
Toby Antigua.
There's a few. I have written down Jonathan Newsom.
Okay, yes. He was
really?
Toby Antigua, as Clark said in my ear, and who else said it? Who else blurted
it
out?
Yeah, I said that,
Smitty'd be great with 0 numbers. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, is on the couch over there. His mental rolled it. I sprung it. I got all you. You all had surprises for me today, and I've turned the tables.
Oh, yeah.
Eli Shazam.
There you go. Congratulations.
Jonathan Newsom, Toby Antigua. There was a 0 back in the day, a corner.
Wow.
And we're Facebook friends, I got to remember. Quiet on the set! Party hasn't started yet.
I heard what you said. Buca wears 0.
Ellie Buca. Is that who you're
talking
about?
That's what she was saying. Yeah, that's what Amanda was saying. She's all over it.
Sean. He played with Sean Springs in college. Omar Evans.
Oh.
Omar Evans.
Yes.
War number 0 in the Ryder back. The Omar, and we're still Facebook friends. But there are more. DeMarcus Cousins from the NBA.
Well, and Gilbert Arenas, Agent 0, they used to call him.
From the National Hockey League, I got a few.
There was?
Yep.
Oh.
Oh.
Calgary Flames, Neil Sheehy.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember Neil Sheehy?
I don't remember him wearing 0.
And John Davidson, goaltender of the New York Rangers.
Like John Davidson? Fame broadcaster, MSG,
War number 0 for the New York Rangers.
All right.
Casey writes in and he says, Rod, you need to put a montage together of yelling, quiet on the set. There would be several of those.
Oh, yeah.
Now here they all come. Les Brown, Ike Charlton.
Oh, there's a couple good ones.
There's tons. We do it for the last segment here. We saved, not the best for last, but just a portion of it. No,
the best.
The best was earlier. Yeah. Wes, are you staying for pizza? Okay, he's going to stay for a bit.
Good.
Well, so if you and I got to get to the same place at the same time, I feel a little better. What do you want to say, Dupes?
Nothing.
Come on, you put this whole thing together.
The only thing I'll say is that I hope everybody tunes in for episode 101. And let's reset the odometer and let's go again.
Of course, let's go again.
And we won't make as big a deal about 200, But we're going to make a big deal about
1,000
our 1 year anniversary. That'll be the next date, June the 3rd.
Tell your friends.
I think a lot of people are.
Please and thank you.
Yeah, based on the viewership today, I think a lot of people are telling their friends.
As a person who has been with you on this journey for a long time, Rod. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it feels longer than others. since you launched your radio show, I think that this is unbelievable. I think you're ahead of the curve, and I just cannot wait for 200, 300, 1,000 until, like, literally we are getting old and gray.
You're right. Yeah. And I got one more. It's just watching those early clips, and when I was going back and clipping all those together and doing the video editing and a lot of that last night, man, has this show come a long way. Like the empty desk and the bare set and like nothing going on. It was like prehistoric broadcast, and now we've come this far. So I can only imagine to see just how it naturally evolves, because none of this, everything you see, none of it's planned.
No. I mean,
the show is planned.
And none of it happens without the people viewing.
Exactly.
And streaming.
But it's evolved with all the gifts on the desk. I can only imagine where it's going to evolve to in the next 100 episodes.
And you're still not wearing socks, as Clark has pointed out.
Yeah, that there's no evolution there.
Yeah. My name's on it, but it's a very large team, and a lot of them are in the bunker. So let's have a little party, folks, and thanks for coming down. Thanks to the team that puts this together, of course, and there would be no us without you, everybody. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Facebook. Put up the uprights, Remps, on Facebook Live.
It's good.
Yeah. Let's cut the cake.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.